The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Josh Blake of KNEI Radio and Walk On, and Nicole Presley of the Pella Chronicle. Josh, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
In the news, at least some of the news outlets, Uranium One is being talked about. Can you tell me how that's progressing and as far as any investigations or anything with that?
I can tell you how I see it. I can't tell you how the investigations are going because at the oversight hearing for Governor General Sessions, I asked that question, and he says it's our policy, and it has been the policy of the department over decades, not to confirm or deny an investigation, and then obviously not if they don't confirm or deny, then they don't have anything to talk about. So he just promised me that he was going to be looking into the issues that I raised. Now, for me, the important thing is that the FBI has established with one of the informants a gag order, that they can't talk to anybody about it. The lawyer says he's very willing to talk about what went on of the sale of 20% of our uranium supply to Russia. Now, this happened 6-7 years ago. There were some people convicted of bribery and fraudulent activity and all that. But it's been pretty much hush-hush on the details. And we think the public ought to have a right to do it. Such a gag order keeps Congress from doing its constitutional responsibility to do our oversight. In other words, make sure that the laws are carried out, and to make sure the FBI is doing its job, the Justice Department is doing their job, so that when there's questions about whether or not it was adequately handled in a transparent way so the public knows what's going on, so there's a subsequent accountability, then this gag order keeps all this information from coming out and Congress not doing its job. So I'm concentrating on trying to get that gag order raised. Nicole?
Hey, I kind of wanted to dial back to Friday when they announced that the EPA would be upheld, or the RFS would be upheld. I understand that you and Senator Ernst made quite a few calls to kind of make sure that everything stayed okay. I didn't know if you could kind of talk a little bit about what those conversations were like.
Yeah, they were pretty much boiled down to this, that the president ran on a platform in Iowa, and he wants me to tell Iowans that he's still for ethanol. And he told me this way back in August to keep repeating that to Iowans. And then, of course, this stuff happened since August. And so it raises questions about whether or not the president is being consistent. The president is being consistent. So our message to Director Pruitt was the president promised to be supportive of biofuels. You're doing things that are harmful to biofuels, and so you shouldn't be doing them. And I guess as of Friday, he bought our argument. Now, whether he bought our argument or whether the president got on him, I'm not sure I can tell you. But I think it was a win-win for biofuels and Iowa farmers and Iowa jobs and our whole industry because we're the number one producer of ethanol. Josh?
The Farmer Fair Practice Rule never took an effect, and you were quoted as saying the USDA is just pandering to big corporations. Can you touch on that?
Yeah. Remember that for a long time we were listening to farmers who had arrangements to raise livestock and fowl for various big packers. And they were promised certain things. It seems like these weren't always carried out. So after quite a few years hearing that, we got an amendment to the 2008 Farm Bill saying that the Agriculture Department under the Packers and Stockyards Act ought to get involved in it. We gave them the authority to get involved in it. Then we waited 5 or 6 years for regulations to be written, and Secretary Vilsack, then Secretary Vilsack, wrote what I thought were very strong rules. I complimented him on it, and now a new administration gets in, and they rescind those rules. And it's going contrary to congressional intent. They aren't carrying out the law. Then consequently, the big packers and big corporations are going to continue to benefit and be unfair to the family farmer. Nicole?
I didn't know if you wanted to comment on the passing of the budget and the Senate, and then maybe what you guys might concentrate on in the future or moving forward.
Yeah. Well, the budget is a necessary fourth step to doing tax cuts or tax reform, whatever you want to call it. And we got the budget passed, and then we thought we would have another 2 weeks wasted while we were working out differences without the House of Representatives, with the House of Representatives. And it looks like the House of Representatives is going to pass our budget the way it passed the Senate, so we won't waste those 2 weeks on compromise. And we will then have 2 weeks ahead of time to start getting the tax cut legislation going. So I think this gives us the ability to finish tax cuts by Thanksgiving. For sure by the end of the week. I mean, by the end of the year, I should have said. Okay, now we're ready for Josh.
Okay. Let's talk about health care. That's kind of, everybody's been waiting to see what's going to happen with that. Obamacare, what's that going to be about, or what's going to happen?
Since you brought up Obamacare, I suppose 2 attempts for the Senate to pass a bill and not do it, then people think that that's the end of it. When we last met the last week of September on this issue, the caucus decided that we weren't giving up. But I don't know when it's going to come up again, but it surely ought to come up again so we can make up for the broken promises of Obamacare. And then we will get to, in the meantime, get to something else, and that would be the Alexander Murray bill. That's a bipartisan bill. It does just a little bit of what needs to be done to Obamacare. I don't want to say that it doesn't scratch the surface of being repeal and replace like we promised. And I'm embarrassed that we didn't deliver on our promises. But when you come up one vote short, you come up one vote short. So then you move on to something else, and that's the Alexander bill, and it will do some of the things that will help the 50 states. Like, it'll be more flexible on waivers that you can get from the federal government to do things a little bit different than just what Obamacare demands that you do. Nicole, this is the last question.
Okay. And mine's going to kind of stem from that health care question. I guess, what kind of message do you want to give to Iowans who might be a little worried about their coverage next year?
We're still in the process of getting things put together. And they aren't going as good with the bureaucracy in Center for Medicaid Services as we thought to get a waiver. We're still going to try. If this Alexander Murray bill would pass, it would open the door for a better chance of getting it approval. But right now, with Wellmark wanting these changes made, and we don't get the waivers from the federal government under Obamacare, then that means that people, that the 72,000 people that are going to not get insurance next year because of Wellmark, they're going to have to go to Medica, and there's going to be a big increase, contrary to what Obamacare promised, but a big increase in premiums. And that's all I can suggest to the people at this point. But we've been working since May to get CMS under Obamacare, and they got to live within the law to do it. Iowa government asked us to. We helped as much as we could, but right now it doesn't look as good as it should.
Thank you, Josh and Nicole, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.